Grace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God speaks to us this morning in our reading from Genesis chapter 18 and 21. And before we dive into our text, which I am excited to do, let me briefly introduce myself. My name is Jonathan Connor. I serve as full-time pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Manning, Iowa. If you say, where is that? I would tell you we are centrally located in western Iowa, in the middle of everything and close to nothing. All right? Now, I also serve as an educator for Lutheran Family Service. There is no S on the end. Lutheran Family Service. And I'll have some opportunity to do some educating this morning during our Bible class time. And I'm excited about that. I'll be talking about screens, not these what I would call communal screens, but more the individual screens that are in our pockets and in our hands and how they are affecting us and maybe some tactics we can use to fight back. That's after church, though. I do invite you to join us for that conversation called Becoming Screen Wise. Now, on behalf of your brothers and sisters who serve with Lutheran Family Service, thank you for inviting me to share God's Word with you today. I will not turn the sermon into a commercial for Lutheran Family Service, but let me briefly offer that we are a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. That means we are your partner in mercy and equipping. We facilitate adoptions and embryo rescue. We offer Christian counseling and support groups like on grief or families who have children who are gender confused. We offer lots of support groups that are free. They are telehealth sort of things. They're free. Anyone across the country or world can be a part of those. We offer crisis pregnancy support, church worker support, mental health support, numerous other educational and equipping events like this, educational opportunities. And I will simply add this. I chose to partner with Lutheran Family Service because I believe in what they are doing. And I would love to have the opportunity to tell you more about Lutheran Family Service and to share how you can partner with this beautiful ministry of the church. But right now we are digging into God's Word. So the title that I'm working with today is One Frame in the Divine Film. One Frame in the Divine Film. So you heard the text, right? The pre-incarnate Jesus, along with two angels, appeared to Abram, he's Abram, or Abraham at this point, and told him and Sarah that he and Sarah were going to have a child. And you know how Sarah responded? She laughed. But a year later, she was holding that baby Isaac in her arms. And no doubt you heard that powerful line uttered by the pre-incarnate Jesus, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now I'll go ahead and have you skip to the next slide and we'll be right where we need to be. So go ahead and skip to the next slide. So the answer obviously is no, of course not. But that's not why I bring this up. I bring it up because first I want to teach us how not to read our Bibles. So chances are, if you've listened to any sort of, you know, evangelical sort of pop evangelical preaching, you've heard texts like this one preached like this. Okay, so first the preacher is going to amplify the story. He's really going to get into the scene. He's going to remind people just how old Abraham and Sarah were. He's going to give all the reasons why they shouldn't be able to have a baby. And then he's going to grab a hold of this line and say, is anything too hard for the Lord? And then here's what he's going to do. He's going to turn to his listeners and start talking or saying things like this. What things in your life do you think are impossible? What things in your life are you believing are impossible? That big promotion, your dream job, a husband, a wife, a healthy body. And then he's going to pull out the line, is anything too hard for the Lord? And then the underlying current of all this is going to be, if you just believe hard enough, God will work the impossible for you too. Just like he did for Abraham and Sarah. Now, I will tell you, that preaches really well. It gets people excited. It gets their hopes up. But that is not what this text is about at all. The text is not about your dreams coming true. It's not about you realizing your destiny. There is something way bigger going on here than your job and your health. But let me tell you why that kind of preaching is so damaging. First, it puts a heavy burden on you, the hearers, because the burden of your destiny is firmly fixed on you, on the strength of your faith. And second, it makes promises for God that God has not made. God is not promising you a promotion in this text. God is not promising you health in this text. I'm going to tell you what God is promising in just a minute, but that is too narrowly focused. And third, that kind of preaching completely evicts Jesus from the story. You see, the story is one scene, one episode in this epic story, an epic story that is so much bigger than promotions and earthbound dreams. This is an epic story that is leading to Jesus, the Savior of the world. And that is such an exciting story. So this is why I'm calling this scene a frame in the divine film. So let me back up just a little bit and give just a bigger view of this film. So let's go back all the way to Genesis chapter 11. Okay. If you don't remember what's going on in Genesis chapter 11, it's the Tower of Babel. Right? I want you to hear something from that scene. Listen to their words. Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top to the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. Okay, did you hear that? Let us make a name for ourselves. So it's all about them. It's about having God on their own terms, about their destiny, about their dreams. And what does God do? He confuses their languages and he scatters the people. All right? But I want you to hear what happens in the very next chapter, chapter 12. So God has just scattered the people in judgment. But the very next chapter, God begins the work of gathering. And guess who he does it through? At that point, he's called Abram. And listen to what God says to Abram. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. All right, did you hear it? So what's God going to do? He's going to make Abram's name great. But why? Why? Is it for Abram? No. It's for the blessing of the nations. God is up to something big here. He's setting this epic story in motion. He's getting the divine film really started at this point. And if you track the story as it progresses, you can see this story unfold. So in chapter 15, we hear this. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward is very great. All right, now, before I get to what I want you to see, I want you to appreciate what you just heard. Because it's really easy to miss. The text says, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. The word came in a vision. In other words, Abram saw the word of the Lord. All right, are you picking that up? All right. We typically think of the word as something we hear. But this is the word you see. Does that sound like anything you encounter in the New Testament? Right? It should, right? I mean, in fact, it's supposed to. It's all part of this epic story that God is telling, an epic story that's leading to Jesus, right? The incarnate visible word. So the word of the Lord takes Abram outside and tells him, look toward heaven. Number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Okay, so Abram is between 75 and 85 by this point that he makes this astonishing promise. But here's the thing. At this point, he and Sarai, she's called Sarai at this point, still have no children. So we have this epic story initiated, and we have no way for it to move forward. So at least 14 years passed, maybe more, but still no children through Sarai. Now Ishmael's on the scene by this point. This was Abram and Sarai's attempt to force God's hand. But God comes to Abram again in chapter 17, just before chapter 18 we read for today, and he tells him, behold, my covenant is with you. And you shall be a father of a multitude of nations. And this is where God changes their names to Abraham and Sarah. So God tells Abraham, I will give you a son by Sarah. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Then Abraham, get this, fell on his face, and look at this, and laughed. And he said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? That's laughable. So I know in our text for today from Genesis 18, we hear Sarah laugh, right? But she wasn't the first one to laugh. Abraham laughed first. In fact, this is where God tells Abraham he's going to name his son Isaac. When you know, that means he laughs, right? Don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. So here we come to our text for today. And the pre-incarnate Jesus comes again to Abraham, and he says, it's time. The baby's coming. Now, at this point in the promise, this is 25 years in the making. God waited 25 years to the point that it would be abundantly clear who had enabled this birth, who had brought this birth about. Jesus. And then in chapter 21, Isaac is born. And Jesus emphatically answered his own question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Answer, Isaac. Answer, a couple past the years of childbearing, bearing a child. But remember, this is just one frame in the divine film, just one scene in the divine epic. Because remember, Isaac was the child of the promise, not just the promise that he would be born, but the promise that was attached to Isaac. You see, God has a habit of attaching his promises to people and to things in the three-dimensional world. I mean, what do you think God does in baptism and the Lord's Supper? Right? What do you think he does through your called pastor who stands before you pronouncing absolution? right? God three-dimensionalizes his promises. He brings his promises to you in your midst in three dimensions. I mean, that is so astonishing. In three dimensions, God brings his promises to you. But let's return to Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. These people bear the promise. They embody God's promise. And remember God's promise, blessing to all nations. Because remember what God is up to, he's saving the nations. He's gathering the nations to himself. He's establishing the relationship on his terms. That's the whole Old Testament project. It's all about the promise. It's all about bringing the promise to the nations and the nations to the promise. It's all about gathering the nations to God, to his love and his wisdom and his ways. Yes, the people of Israel often lost sight of that promise. It's easy for us to lose sight of that promise too. But let me focus in on that promise. Because the Apostle Paul picks up on it in the book of Galatians. For the sake of time, I'm going to be very brief on this. But Paul, he knows the epic. He sees it. He's so excited about it. He writes this: in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's no male and female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, get this, all right, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The promise. And then Paul goes on to say, you brothers like Isaac are children of the promise. So first, the epic was always leading to Jesus. The divine film was always about Jesus, about God bringing Jesus to the world to save the world, about God bringing Jesus to the world to bless the world. And did you hear what Paul said? You, the baptized children of God, you, the ones baptized into Christ, you are heirs according to the promise that God made to Abraham thousands of years ago. You are children of the promise. You are included in the epic. So now, confess it. Literally, when you get up in the morning, go to your bathroom mirror and confess it to yourself. Look in that mirror and tell the person that you see staring back at you, you say, you know what, I'm talking to you. You are a child of the promise. You are baptized into the divine epic. You are part of the great story. You bear his blessing. I bet if you do that, it'll change you. It can't not change you. And then confess it to your children and your grandchildren. Tell them who they are. Tell them what it means to be baptized into Christ, to be the children of the promise, to be both the recipients of God's blessing and the ongoing means by which God will bring his blessing to the world. And confess it with the church. Confess it with gusto. Confess it with joy. You are the people of the promise. Right? This little scene that we read this morning from Genesis 18 and 21 is just one frame in the divine film, just one frame in the divine epic. So confess it. And confess it at the baptismal font. And confess it at the altar. Because, you know, the epic continues through these means. Bring your children the font. Bring your children to the altar. And go get your neighbors. Go get your friends. Bring them. Invite them into the epic. Invite them into the promise. because the divine film continues, and we all have a part to play. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.